This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. Since it was created in 1899, the 65th Infantry Regiment has been a source of pride in Puerto Rico. For decades, it was the Army's only all-Hispanic unit. Its soldiers were renowned for their skill, their camaraderie, and patriotism, and many gave their lives in defense of the United States, especially during the Korean War. Korea turned out to be both its most glorious achievement and its darkest episode. The regiment was exposed to some of the fiercest battles of the war, and many of its troops were court-martialed after a hopeless campaign to take a hill. The story of the 65th Infantry Regiment is the subject of a new PBS documentary, The Borinqueneers. The film's producer, Noemi Figueroa-Soleil, joins us from member station WICN in Worcester, Massachusetts. Ms. Figueroa-Soleil, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you for inviting me.
And we're also joined by Raúl Reyes Cantinera. He was a member of the 65th Infantry Regiment and fought in Korea. He joins us from member station WUSF in Tampa, Florida. Thank you very much for being with us.
You are welcome, sir.
And Mr. Cantinera, tell me, your three brothers and your father were all members of the 65th. Why did you join up?
I was in the National Guard before I joined the 65th, and I was called on active service in 1950 mm-hmm. when the war in Korea broke up. It was my duty to join.
Noemi Figueroa-Soleil, how and why was the unit formed?
Well, it started as a volunteer regiment when the U.S. took over the island, and it was intended really to safeguard the island. But at the start of World War I and World War II, they started sending them to guard the Panama Canal. And they also sent them to Europe, which they were mostly used for security missions, but they did see some limited combat in the Maritime Alps. And then in the Korean War, of course, when the Korean War broke out, the U.S. was not adequately prepared to join the war, but the 65th had been training for a number of years, and they were assigned to the 3rd Infantry Division and arrived in Korea and saw quite a bit of combat.
Mm-hmm. When we talk about what happened in Korea, of course, when we're going to talk about both Kelly Hill and Jackson Heights, I want to play a clip of tape, if we could. Colonel Willis Cronkite, who was one of the commanding officers, speaks with utterly obvious admiration for some of the men who served under him.
One of my sergeants came to me and requested permission to go to the aid station because he'd been shot. And he showed me his wound. And there were maggots in it. And I said, "Why didn't you go to the aid station as soon as you were shot?" And he said, "I was the only one that knew how to adjust artillery fire in that section of our line, and I felt I needed to stay and help my comrades in that tight situation." And that's maybe not an ordinary story, but it's a fact, it's a true story. And those men were so incredibly brave, just unbelievable.
Mr. Castaneda, were you at Kelly Hill?
No, I was rotated home by that time. Mm-hmm. The old soldier, most of them were regular army, were rotated by that time.
Yeah.
Kelly Hill was composed mostly of draftees, of young guys, private, PSC. The regiment was a different regiment by that time.
Noemi, help us understand what happened after the unit was reformed, rotated, combat veterans were sent home, and you had a bunch of young soldiers who had not been as extensively trained in the front lines.
By that time, the war, the Korean War, had also changed, not only the makeup of the regiment, and it became a war of trench warfare. So there were a lot of hills that they were trying to retain, and there were a lot of casualties, and Kelly Hill was one of them.
Is it harder to take losses when soldiers are all from the same place, the same island, know each other and grew up with each other, do you think?
That is the pros and the cons of a segregated unit. And that's why the Army did away with segregation. That's one of the reasons. Mm-hmm. The good things of a segregated unit is there is cohesiveness. Mm-hmm. There is that camaraderie, and there's a commonality that helps in morale, in effectiveness. The bad thing is exactly that. For one thing, if that whole regiment or group participate and there are heavy casualties, it affects one geographic area strongly.
Yeah. Explain to me what happened in the midst of the battle for this hill referred to as Jackson Heights. There was a shell that landed and killed a great many officers.
Yes, there was no leadership. There was no leadership to tell the men, to organize the men. It was chaos. And so they started trickling back. Some of them were helping wounded because there were a lot of wounded. There was no enemy to attack. They could not see the enemy. The Chinese were in a higher position, so they could see the Puerto Ricans, but the Puerto Ricans couldn't see the Chinese. There was nothing to shoot at.
Yeah.
They were just sitting ducks. They couldn't dig for foxholes for cover, so they started leaving.
129 soldiers, I guess, were arrested, and some charged with desertion, some simple disobedience. 96 got to be court-martialed. I want to play a clip from Captain, who later became Colonel Willis Cronkite. We heard his evident pride in the men that served under him. Colonel Cronkite, years after the fact, here expresses why he thinks at least some of the court-martials were justified.
You cannot run a military operation and have people refusing to obey orders. There are situations in combat that units are actually sacrificed to enemy fire so that an attack can be successful someplace else. From a purely military point of view, I think it was correct that they be found guilty.
How do you feel about what Colonel Cronkite said, Noemi?
I tried in this film to present the facts. And then I would like each person who views the film to make up their own mind, because I think that they were placed under very difficult circumstances, and I don't know what I would have done in their situation. I know that I see reason in both sides. I understand that as soldiers, they had to obey orders and that a soldier's job is to fight. On the other hand, I don't blame the men for trying to save their skins, considering that just a month before, they were slaughtered at Kelly, and they probably thought that this was going to be a repeat.
And Mr. Castanera, how do you feel about the people who left and those who were charged?
When I hear about my regiment, it was really, we feel really bad because we fought so well in Korea before that. But after I read about what happened in Korea with these people, I don't blame them. Me personally, I would never refuse to fight.
There were 96 court-martials, and then within a few months, Noemi, the sentences were revised, is the legal term of art. What happened?
There are different theories. I mean, one of them is the fact that in 1952, Puerto Rico became, instead of a colony, it was Commonwealth, which is a self-autonomous but associated with the U.S. Mm-hmm. So I think that that was not good public relations for the Army to, you know, have court-martials going on with an island that was supposedly not a colony anymore. That's one theory. And the other theory is they looked at the circumstances and the Army realized that there was a suicide mission and that it was reasonable for them not to go back.
In 1953, the 65th was integrated into the rest of the Army. What did the Army lose? What did Puerto Rico lose?
We, in Puerto Rico, we always saw the 65th as a Puerto Rican regiment. So it was a shock for us that we lost our regiment. And we feel very bad about that because we lost that regiment in Puerto Rico. The proudest moment of my life was when I served with the 65th.
Noemi?
There are different ways of looking at this. And, I've gotten different perspectives from different veterans that I've spoken to.
Yeah.
Some veterans felt that it was now an opportunity to be treated equally. Mm-hmm. When you're integrated with others, you have more opportunity maybe for advancement. On the other hand, the rumor was that the 65th lost its colors because of the Jackson Heights incident. So there was a stigma. There was a shame attached to it. It was almost where we desegregated because we were being punished, which is why in 1954, after the 65th was deactivated, the government of Puerto Rico asked that the designation of the 65th Infantry Regiment be permanently assigned to the Puerto Rico National Guard, where it continues to exist today as a battalion, so that that legacy of service that was so part of Puerto Rico would not die and would continue to be a part today.
Mr. Castanera, has anybody ever said to you, why do you fight for the United States?
Because we are American citizens and we love this country. We are part of the United States as American citizens, and it's our duty when the United States is in trouble, to fight for this country, and we would always fight for this country.
I want to thank you both, Raul Reyes Castañeda, who's joined us from Tampa, Florida, and filmmaker Noemi Figueroa Soleil, who joined us from Worcester, Massachusetts. Her film, The Borinqueneers, will be broadcast on PBS all of August.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye.